Isn't God good? Amen. Let's give him some glory today. Let's give him some praise. Hallelujah. 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 We're reading today out of Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. This is not for the timid of heart. Just want to let you know, it's not for the timid of heart. All right? If you guys want to engage in warfare, if you guys want to take back ground, make sure you listen. Right? Make sure these words penetrate your heart today. Ephesians 6, 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girding your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak."
Gerald, can you pray?
Yeah. Why don't you guys extend your hands towards your pastor today? We're praying for him today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for our pastor. We ask, Lord, that you would touch him, that you would speak through him today. May your words be his words and his words be your words, Lord, in all boldness and all understanding. May you give him the bread, Lord Jesus Christ, that helps to sustain his flock. We ask, Lord God, that you would anoint him, that you would cover him and protect him, that you would bless him and work through him. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gerald. You may be seated. Oh, wow, I'm slow. Jeannie and Cindy, you preached the message as you gave that word, and I want to thank you for it. You'll hear it come out. And then thank you for the confirming word that you gave to the one that was given. I'm going to share another word. And this came from last week at the end of the service. And I think it's a powerful statement of God dealing with us in the midst of really hard times. It says, when Pastor Mike spoke last week about wives submitting to their husbands, I didn't want to hear the teaching about this. As I was submissive and I was physically and emotionally abused by my husband, I listened and God showed me that I survived by his love and his forgiveness. I was able to forgive in my abusive relationship. Sometimes the hardest things to hear are when God teaches us something that happens. It helps us to grow through his love. It was such a powerful word about God speaking to somebody in the midst of their trial. And it just causes me to share just a couple really quick thoughts before I get into today's scripture. If you're being physically abused in a relationship, I'm just going to tell you like I see it. The covenant has been broken right there. Because the husband is called to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And Christ never abused anyone. There is no place for abuse in a marriage. With that said, you get yourself to safe places. And we're still about reconciliation, and we're still about working things through, but we do it from a position of safety. And I would say even control, where you take over control. If you're a man being abused in a relationship, I would say the same thing to you. If you're being abused, the covenant has been broken. You haven't been respected and honored as you're called to do. My heart breaks when I hear stories of people abusing other people and they're fighting. But in this, these messages are so hard because they are so good for us. And she said in the midst of it, she still learned what God was trying to teach her. So I say, thank you, Jesus, for always showing up when we're in the hard place. I pray protection over wives. I pray protection over husbands that are coming out of abuse or currently in abuse. And then my last word on that is keeping quiet does nobody any good. Speak up. Let people know. I know we're going back in history for a family, but speak up and let people know and get support. That's my word for you right now. God will be in the midst of it if you ask him to be. I pray that come about in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. I think we should clap for the lady that had the courage to give me a letter that I'm going to speak about that. Realities and strategies of spiritual warfare. I could just speak on that all day. It is real. You've heard me say multiple times that the reality of the spirit realm is more real than the reality of the physical realm that we live in. And that's because one is eternal and the other is temporal. Amen. That spirit realm must be quite a place. For you believers who are filled with the Spirit of God and who love to enter into that realm, I get you. What an exciting thing that you would step into the spirit realm that is more real than the physical one we're in. But know that the things we're going to talk about concerning warfare are real. And our struggle is the same struggle we have all the time. And the struggle is we try to look at things from a flesh or a carnal perspective and we miss it. We miss it. No, we have to look at things from a spiritual perspective. The woman that shared her testimony went from the physical, horrendous physical, to a spiritual place. And that's where she found God. How could that be? Because God is spirit. And true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth, right? That's right. In Ephesians chapter 1, Pastor James did a great job back. What was that, about 3.5 years ago we did that teaching? There were some primary points that lay the foundation for the end of Ephesians that I just want to go through very quickly. In Ephesians 1:17, we learned that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is from the Holy Spirit. In verse 19, we learned about God's mighty power as the Father of the Trinity. In Ephesians 21, we learn about God's dominion through his son, Jesus Christ. He has dominion. We sometimes think of him as the man in the flesh, but he is God in the spirit today. He sacrificed the flesh. He crucified the flesh because he did it willingly. But he is spirit as much as the Father and the Holy Spirit are spirit. I just messed up everybody's theology, but you're going to be okay. In Isaiah 59, it says this, verse 16. He, God, saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him and his own righteousness. It sustained him. Prophetic word given by the prophet Isaiah about God and maybe the fullness of God and then the heart of God for the people. And then also what was to come, especially in this day of dispensation. And I use that word. I don't even know what it means. It's a great big word. I just had to use it. But it really has to do with the church age and what God is doing from the time of Christ until the time he calls his church home. Jesus. He is going to bring us to the spiritual place. He is going to help us get past our flesh because in it, you've heard it, what dwells there? No good thing. Jesus' name. So what are we to do with this spiritual warfare? we're to put on Christ. I mean, I could simplify the whole message. I could talk all day about the scripture and the title, but I could just finish it all up by saying, just put on Christ. It would be so easy. But why do we put on Christ? Because of one, the things we talked about in from Ephesians 1, his authoritative position. He has authority above all authority. He is the ultimate authority. He is a sovereign God. He answers to no one. Because of the power of his Holy Spirit, who worked through the Son. And the Son speaks by the Spirit and gives glory to the Father and honor to the Father. We put on Christ because when we put on Christ, we're putting on the fullness of God. Put on Christ. Put on his Holy Spirit. Let it indwell. Let the Spirit of God indwell in you. And prepare yourself for something that is going to be awesome. How did he demonstrate his power? It says in verse 22, Exodus 1:22, he gave him to be head over all things to the church. That means that he put everything else under his feet. When we think of spiritual warfare and how we're going to go beat up the devil, I just want to caution you for a second. It is God who beats up the devil. We operate by faith, by hearing what the Spirit says to us, by allowing the Word of God, which is in us, to tell us what to do and where to go. But if you think you're going to be stomping on the devil's head, I'm telling you, that's God's business. Don't go chasing demons. Because on a really bad day, you're going to catch one. And you may be out of your league. And I'm not creating cowards here. I'm telling you the reality of the spiritual warfare that goes on, typically because of the ignorance of mankind, thinking that we can do this with just a tiny measure of faith. Well, with a tiny measure of faith, we can accomplish and say mountains move, but you do not want to go into this unprepared. All right? I'm just telling you this straight out. However, when the battle comes to you, and it will if you're a true believer, we have nothing to fear. We rise up because greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world, right? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. First thing I want to share with you. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren. Do you remember all the therefores and the whys and the becauses of last week? And then you heard of the foundation laid in Ephesians chapter 1. We get our last ones of these. It says, therefore, or finally, my brethren. That's kind of like a therefore word. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. My first question is, do you know him? If you don't know him, you have no power in his might. You're cannon fodder is what you are. You're what he has to deal with before he gets, and there's not much to deal with if you're not in Christ. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How are we strong in the Lord? How do you get strong in the Lord? We get strong in the Lord by the power of his might. It's what he does. Well, is there anything that we do? Yeah, well, we're going to put on his armor. What does that mean? We're going to put on Christ. Put him on. Fill him up with his word. Wash yourself with the water of the word. Get his word in you. Get his spirit in you. Okay, when that happens, now you're ready for some warfare. I would say until you have those things in order, don't be looking for fights. That's what I'm going to say. Don't be picking fights with the devil. Really? What are you thinking? We're talking about a supernatural being. He's not all-knowing, and he's not all-present, but he's still supernatural, and he's beyond us. And you know what? He's had several thousand years to study us. He knows how we work. I taught for 30 years, and I'm going to tell you what. I know I got some other people in here who have taught. You tell them, they'll spot a kid, and they'll have a good read on that kid within about 15 minutes, and they know what the kid's going to do and what they're not going to do. Why? Because they studied for 8, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. How much more a supernatural being who has studied us for millennia knows how we work and how we act and how we react. He's got us pegged. And if you go in there as a faker, oh man, he's got you pegged a long time ago. How else do we be strong? We understand the power of his position, but it's really about the oneness of God. And the oneness of God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Embrace the triune God, the Trinity. Don't diminish any one in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't diminish it. Embrace him. Get the fullness of God. Are you weak in understanding God's word? Then I say get into his word. Life groups want you to get into his word. Celebrate Recovery wants you to get into his word. Why? Because the word does something to us. It changes us from the inside out. How do we conform no longer to the pattern of this world? We're transformed by the renewing of our mind, which comes from the putting of the word of God into our mind. Because then it'll seep down to our heart. And that's where the change takes place, is in the heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So he says to put on the full armor of God, Ephesians 6, 11a. Put on the whole armor of God. What is the whole armor of God? It's simply, like I said before, it's putting on Christ. In Romans 13:12, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Put on light. Why? We're called, one, to be salt, and we're called to be light to the world, but we can't do that without Christ, so we're putting on Christ. The Bible says that he is the light of the world. And he's calling you and me as his followers, as believers in him, that we are to become the light of the world. Now, we don't ever become Jesus, but boy, we should sure look like him as we grow in him and we become lights. And people will know. They'll know within a few minutes if you're one of those people of the light. And they'll know if you're a pretender. So get in. If you feel you haven't grown to the place to, and you feel unworthy, don't worry about that. Get into his word. Get into him. Romans 13:14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It gets a little more specific. So when we're talking about light, we're not just talking under a flood lamp. We are talking about getting in and under him. Put on Christ. Why? Because we war against the flesh. More specifically, he says to put on these things. We war against the flesh, and when we put on the light, when we put on Christ, we begin to see the difference between the flesh and the spirit. We begin to be concerned about the things of the spirit over things of the flesh. This book has just triggered me in lots of different ways, but the primary thing that what this book and the book, the whole Bible has been doing over the last, I don't know, maybe year, he is showing me the difference between the flesh and the spirit, and we are not to be concerned about the flesh, we are to be concerned with the spirit. That doesn't mean you quit going to the gym. Your pants will never fit. That means that we need to be concerned with what we need to be concerned with. This life, we said several months ago, is but a vapor. It vanishes away. And if you took a deep look at the things that you do in this world, a really deep look, and asked yourself some hard questions, you're going to come up with, well, why does that matter? It's just going to be gone. Why about this? It's just but a vapor. Why about this? It's just, it's hevel? Is that the word? Is it hevel? You all don't know the word either. It's meaningless. These things are all meaningless when you look at a deeper thing. What about the things of God? They are eternal. They last forever. They have impact. Think about eternity more so than our presence here on this earth. So what do you do with the presence on this earth? You step into the eternal God and allow him to work through you that you can impact. And I can impact people in this world. How do you do that? Oh, all different kinds of ways. We'll see if we can find a few here for you, for me. In Colossians 3:12, it says this, therefore, as the elect of God, if you're a believer, you are the elect of God, holy and beloved. If you're not a believer, he wants you to be a believer. All right? It says, put on tender mercies. Think about yourself. Do you have tender mercy? Put it on. Put on kindness. Not the kindness that appeases the masses. the kindness that comes from the heart of God to impact a life for the glory of God. That's one of those beautiful words that's been kind of tainted a bit in the day that we live. Put on meekness, a quiet strength. Put on long-suffering. I just read a letter from a woman who's been through a horrible thing and the long-suffering that she endured. What does he say to do? Put on long-suffering that you can endure the physical things, because he's teaching us something to get us to the physical place or the spiritual place. And then here's a big one. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. I don't know if you've been in this place or not, but I've had encounters with people I love where I wanted to do violent things to them, and I could feel it heavy in my spirit to the point where I'd be locked and loaded. Now, I know, I'm 5 foot nothing. You know, it's not going to hurt them a whole bunch. But you get my point. And the anger was so real with somebody I loved. And I just felt it, and I felt it, and I felt it. And thankfully, I have a wife that intercepted and stopped what was going on. And I stewed and I was angry for 45 minutes to an hour. I couldn't even hardly explain the anger I had. And when the person came back into the room and said, "I am sorry," it broke. It was gone. That anger and that rage and that frustration and that not wanting to be able to deliver the payload, you know, it was gone. Why? Because what was taking place in the physical had spiritual ramifications, and when the Spirit entered in, it diffused everything, because that's what the Spirit of God does. Forgiveness is huge. If you're this woman that shared this testimony was so powerful, because she said she forgave the person that hurt her. When she forgave him, the power of the air, the enemy that we war against, was defeated right there. Defeated. When you make amends with somebody and you come in with, "I am sorry." I had to do that with a brother. "I'm so sorry." And I meant it. And I felt it was broken. And when somebody says that they're sorry for hurting you, the tension will break. And there's victory in the spirit realm. It's the one that matters. Thank you. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Get the word in you. If you're a new believer, you just said, "Jesus, I want you to come in," 3 days ago, and now you're ready to take on the devil? Well, before you do, let's get some of that word in you. Because this is how you're going to know the intimacy of God, is by the word of God, facilitated and, I'll say, tweaked by the Spirit of God. Get them in you. Get God in you. Get them all over you. Look and smell and taste like God is how I see it. Verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You can see. We all have eyes, even in the flesh, to see who's just lit up by what the Spirit of God is doing. But if you have spiritual eyes, you can see even deeper that God has touched their hearts. And you could probably pick out a pretender or two. Jesus, help us. Why do we have to be strong? So that we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. So I'll get into the teaching today. Ephesians 6:11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, when I said at the beginning that this war that we're in is real, the spirit realm is the most real thing in existence. Our battle is there. And the foe we fight, the devil, he is a liar, and he was a liar from the beginning. But he and his demons are who we fight with, and we don't even know it. And we're caught off guard. But Paul, through God, speaking through him, gives to the Ephesians, to the Romans, to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, all these different churches to understand these thoughts here. There are about 6 things that I pulled. I listened to Rick Renner. I don't know if you've ever listened to him. Go listen to him. He takes things from the Greek and makes it understandable in today's word. So if you don't understand the word, this guy will give you the deeper definition for the language that was used in the day. And I took some of these from that, and it says, the wiles. Be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles? Wiles of the devil are truly a logical, methodical attack. Scheming, if you think of him scheming against you. And that's what he does, and he's good at it. And it's incredibly spiritual what comes after you. Satan operates on a single lane. He's on a one-lane road, and he's taking everybody with him on that one lane. That one lane, when he comes to you, it is to mess you up and separate you from the one true God. That's what he does. His destination is hell, the lake of fire, and those he takes on that direction with him through his cunning are heading to the same place. That's a spiritual battle. The devil himself, the Diablos, strikes repeatedly until he has penetrated from one side through the other. Here's the reality. He is striking. These attacks and assaults come to the mind. That's where the spirit realm takes place, is in the mind to mess up the heart. That's what's going on. And he comes to the mind to confuse it, to mess it up, that we don't understand, that we don't see, that we walk blind in the world today. There are two faiths and two directions in all of us. And there are two voices that are going on all the time. We have the still small voice of God. Still, he speaks in a still small voice. Do you have ears to hear what he's saying? And he speaks in his voice the truth of who he is, the truth of what you're into or about. He's speaking to you about what you need. It always lines up with his word. And there's another voice that is at work every bit as much, and it's the voice of the enemy. But he's not a still small voice. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, looking to whom he may devour. Roaring lion, he is speaking loudly in your ear. It happens all the time. Do this. They're asking you to do this right now. Hurry up, go do this. That's not how God works. God's like, whoa, slow down. You don't have to go please that person or that person or that person. I had a talk with a brother about that this week. No, slow down. I want you to hear me. Listen to what I have to say. Don't listen to the loud voice. Loud voices, walk away. Be done with that person. No, they're hurting right now. There's time and room for reconciliation. We can fix this. Stay with me. It'll be tough for a time, but I'm going to be in it with you. Two voices. Which one do you listen to? I have a lifetime of listening to the loud voice and having just a little bit of, I can't think of the word. Nobody's helping me. Where it comes on quick. Impulsive. That's the word. I'm a little bit impulsive sometimes. Go now, go now. I go now. Shouldn't have went. Got me in trouble. Slow your roll, Mike. Got something better. Go this way. Yeah, but go this way. Yeah, but I don't. Go this way. But I really want to. And I stop hearing his voice. The loud one I still hear. The wiles, the name of the devil. There's two places you go. Do you operate in faith in Christ Jesus and what he says, or do you operate in the faith of what the loud voice, the loud noise is saying? Thank you, Jesus. He operates in devices. Devices. Tools. Like a vice that holds something in place. He holds us in place. And I'm not talking physically. I'm talking emotionally, spiritually, mentally. He's holding us like a vice in place to the thing which is not good for us. It's hard to get free from it, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. They are of the mind. It attacks the truth. It strikes the mind to create confusion. That's what he always wants to do with us. Hold you in traps like a vice. And sometimes we don't even know it. We just can't be done with it yet. He operates in deception. Satan dangles something, usually sinful or dangerous to us or something out of God's will, yet it's appealing. He dangles it in front of us. What does he dangle in front of you? Candy bars? Cheesecake? Carrot cake? Amy, you're trying to kill me. What is he dangling in front of you? Cigarettes? Alcohol? Drugs? What is he dangling in front of you? Other women? Other men? What's he dangling in front of you? What is he stirring in you? What are you watching on TV? What are you listening to in terms of music? And here's what happens. It's subtle. I mean, every man in here, if some woman came into your office, if you're a married man and you love your wife, and some woman came in and they really wanted to be with you, you'd say, get out of here. It's not how he works. It's subtle. And this is where the deception comes in. It's a little bit of nice. It's a little bit more of nice. It's a lot of nice. And before you know it, you've fallen. All the while, you kind of know that, yeah, I probably shouldn't be doing this. Yeah, I should probably stay clear of this. But you toy with it. You investigate it. You get a feel for it. And before you know it, you're taking the hook and he's yanking the rod, little bass thing that I heard. I thought of you, Sam. And he's got you. You fell. And now he's got you. Deception is one of his tools. In the church, especially the spiritual people in the church, those that go to war know about these strongholds or what he uses. A stronghold is like a fortress. It's like a prison, but it's an emotional prison. It's a spiritual prison. It's a prison that keeps you away from God. And sometimes you don't even know you're in this prison and you can't break through. Sometimes it's a habit or it's an issue that you're struggling with and you can't get past it. And no matter what you do, you're bound to this stronghold because it's stronger than you and you're working at a deficit because you don't even know what it is and you're locked in it. Strongholds. Jesus, help us with strongholds. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee all youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. That is a tool in God's arsenal against strongholds. And then he gives us another one. This is so good. 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Confess your sins. Be truthful about it. When you're talking to God about your sins, give him the junk. Give him the dirt. Give him the worst part of who you are. Lay it out on the table, because that's where God shines. In his forgiveness and in his restoration. See it happen on Thursdays all the time. It's the most beautiful thing. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and everything, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Remember, it hits us spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Strongholds, we break them by the power of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And then we move to verse 12, and God is very clear, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly realms. And then on the earthly level, we are at war. We go against the rulers of the darkness of this age. That's the battle. And these are spiritual battles. We don't wrestle with each other. But Pastor Mike, that person hurt me. I understand. You're not wrestling with that person. You're wrestling against the spirit in that person. There are spiritual things happening. And our blindness, our deafness, our unawareness does not help us in these battles. Because if we don't know that it's spiritual, we address it on the physical and we create division. There's hurt, there's unforgiveness, and we are left in the devices that we were caught up in. We're left in the strongholds and in the bondage, and we're not free at all in any kind of way. So how do we wrestle? We put on the whole armor of God, the Bible tells us. Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having to done all, to stand. But first, what's this about the evil day? 2 Timothy 3:1 says, But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We all read this and heard this before? Yeah, we know it's coming. In fact, you don't even have to be very bright. You can see it's here. I see it's here. And I believe we're living in the last days. When did that begin? After Christ ascended to the Father. After he sent the Holy Spirit down upon the church. From that point on, we've been living in the last days. What's the last days about? The last days are about the church age. And it is about the church coming back to Christ. It is about us as believers, as warriors for Christ, going out and sharing the love and the truth of God to non-believers that they might be saved. Saved from what? From damnation. From what they deserve. From hell. Saving them. That's what we're called to be doing in this evil day. How long does the evil day last? Till God calls his church home. Well, then what? Then he goes back to his original plan, which is the Jew. Israel, spiritual Israel, that they would be saved. And to regraft them into the vine, which was originally their vine, to bring them home. That's God's plan. So when does this thing happen? When does it get fulfilled? I think what God has shown me in Scripture, this is my opinion, so you can do a study on it. When the full measure of sin has been reached, and the full measure of those who are going to come to Christ by God's understanding and knowledge, which goes beyond mine, that's when he's coming back. And I believe he's coming back with a trumpet blast to bring us up with him. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive will be caught up together to meet with them in the air. It's so exciting. I'm going on the second bus. Dead people get the first bus. I'm so excited. And I feel like the day is coming. That's how I feel. I feel like Scripture, it seems to me that Scripture shows this. What about the Jew? Don't worry about the Jew. Pray for him. Pray for the Jews. That they would come to know Christ as their Messiah. And that work is going to take place after we're gone, I believe. And God will take care of his. And he's going to reach out to the Jew, and they'll come in great numbers. In fact, he's going to raise up 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Can you imagine how scared the Arabs are going to be when that happens? Can I say that in church? I just did. Oops. I take that back. God wants to save the Arabs. And the Palestinians, he wants them saved. That all one day we would all become spiritual Jews, spiritual Israel. In Jesus' name. I'm going to hear about this one at lunch. Thank you, Jesus. There's another battle we fight about the evil day. 2 Peter 3:3 says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. If you've run into scoffers and you're a believer, it's not easy. It's painful. It hurts. It hurts at a feeling level. Because what they're doing is they're criticizing your belief statement. They're criticizing the God who you love. And they're there to create doubt. And are they operating by their own wits? No. They're affected and influenced by the spirit realm as well. They don't even know it. Sometimes we as the church don't even know it. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of the coming? For since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, what's changed? It's the same thing going on. Way back then, it's the same thing going today. Where is he? And they mock everything that you believe and everything that I believe concerning Christ. And it's defeating. It is a spiritual weapon against us, is what it is. So be on your guard. Put on the full armor of God. Know who he is. But then he says in 2 Peter 3:9, it's the next verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the heart of God. That they would all come to repentance. Even the Yahoo over here and the Yahoo over here and the knucklehead over here. Yes! He wants them to all come to repentance. He wants them to know him. Because the Yahoo and the Yahoo and the knucklehead, that's me. That was me. And thank God for God. that he moved through me, to me, that he moved through believers to speak life to me. Thank God for God, that he cared, that he would get past my crud and get to my heart. Thank God for you, Sally. Without you, I'd be floundering around. I don't even know. Probably wouldn't be here. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Not willing that any should perish. And then he says in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded. Now he's going to give us some armor. Finally getting to the armor. He's going to give us armor to help us deal with that which comes against us. And remember, the armor is every bit as spiritual as the attacks that are coming against you are spiritual. The armor is spiritual. He uses the picture of a Roman soldier so we get an idea, a figure that we could look at the different parts of the armor, which, by the way, Paul knows, because where is he writing from? A house prison is where he's writing from, guarded by Roman soldiers. He knows the armor of the Roman soldiers, and each of them represents what God does on a spirit level and makes the relationship that we might be able to understand it. So he says, standing, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? How do you gird yourself with truth? Well, John 14, 6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father by me. That's a good one. You might want to keep that one. Gird, cover, to protect, to hold up the rest of the armor. Proverbs 3, 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Why do we acknowledge him? Because he is God. He is truth, and I'm girding myself with truth. I need to acknowledge God. So do everybody else in this room. Now, what about the righteousness thing? This one's so powerful. Remember the armor, we're to clothe ourselves in it. It said earlier in the message, you clothe yourself in the armor. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's his plan for you, is to become the righteousness of him. That's his plan for me, that we might become the righteousness of God. What does that mean? Does that mean I'm righteous like Jesus was righteous? No, that means I am clothed in Christ. I am clothed in his righteousness. My righteousness in my flesh is like filthy rags, the Bible says. And that is the grossest thing in the Bible that you'll find. But that's what he says. His righteousness is what matters. It's in him. I am covered and blanketed in him. I put on him. So we're coming back to the beginning of this chapter. Thank you, Jesus. So, we put on truth, we put on righteousness as a breastplate. And then he says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's kind of a two-folded thing. I don't want to say two-edged sword, but the gospel of peace. We should be bringing peace to people. When we speak life to them, it should give peace. Jesus. In Romans 16, 20, it says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Isaiah, and he takes this from Isaiah 52, 7, he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings and good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Two things are happening. When we come to people, human beings, and we share the gospel with them, it is beautiful, and it brings peace to them. I pray that when I speak and I get a little excited or a little loud or something, that it would still bring peace. And when I speak about maybe a woman who was abused by a husband, that a hard message, that it would still bring peace in the midst of the hard message. And at the same time, in the spirit realm, it is Jesus himself who is crushing the head of Satan. At the same time, we bring peace. And in that peace, Jesus crushes the head of the enemy for our benefit. Because he's God and the enemy is not. He is sovereign and the enemy is not. Peace. He says later, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. The sword separates. And then even in this peace, there's a separation, but it's that which is spiritually off from that which is spiritually targeted on Christ. Jesus' name. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Remember I shared with you before, the shield of faith. There is faith against God. There is faith for God. Which voice do you listen to? Which one do you hear? Do you hear the truth of God's word and believe on that? That if you have sinned and you have confessed your sin, the wages of sin is death. If you have confessed your sin, that he forgives it and remembers it against you no more? Do you believe that truth? Or do you believe the loud one who's in your ear saying, don't forget about what you did over here. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Do you remember what you did over here? That's a stronghold and that's a bondage. And if you remember, going back four weeks, we had a mirror out here where people would look at it and remind themselves that they were forgiven and that they too can let it go. They too can let it go. Because that's what God, do you believe that truth? Or do you believe the one that's reminding you of the sin that you committed? I know that one. He reminds me of every bad thing. I catch myself driving and say, oh God, Lord Jesus, I was stupid then. I am so sorry. I don't even want to think about that again. And then I can hang on that thought and accept that it's done, or I can linger in that thought. I want to hang on the thought that Christ has done something and it's permanent and it's good because he is God and he can. And I don't want to linger anymore on the thought that says, I'm hearing the loud noise. Yeah, but you did this. And by the way, I know you. I've studied you for 6,000 years. I know what your motives are. I'm reading your motives. I know what they are. Oh, he knows me. That thought hit my heart because they know me. We have a God who knows you. And he loves you in spite of you. He loves me in spite of me. And he's going to make me right. He's going to do that by the washing of water with the word. He's going to put me in with brothers and sisters who love me because that's what believers do. Who support me because that's what believers do. He's going to do that for you as well. Faith is a big one. The shield of faith is huge. Put it on. And then ask yourself, if you struggle with this idea, what do you believe? What do you believe about faith? In Hebrews 11:6, it says, Pastor James, you can come on up. It says that in Hebrews 11:6. Pastor James, could you please come up? It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's God. It's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Remember the two voices. Which one are you going to listen to? Don't do this. Don't come up there. People are watching, and they're going to judge you. That's a voice. That's a loud voice. The other one is, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I love you. Be still and know that I am the sin taker. I take away the sins of the world. Be still and know that I am God and I plan a future for you with me forever. Be still and know that I am God. That's what he speaks to us. Gerald and Stephanie, if you could come up with a few. Neil and Cindy, if you could just come up, that would be great. Michael and Pat, if you guys could just come up here. Jesus. Jesus. There's a voice that God has. It's, for me, it was a different voice. It was a pleasant hounding, if you will, before I came to Christ, before I made a decision to follow him. Up until the moment I did, I was wrestling with him and I was fighting him all the way. Until he got to my heart and it broke. And it broke because it was so tender and so good. I got past all the lies, these lies that were reminding me of who I used to be. Or they'll never really love you once they know. I got past all that and it cut right to my heart. And I knew it cut to my heart before I knew anything about anything that I've talked about today. I knew it because it gave me compassion in an instant for a lady I didn't care for that I had to work with. And I broke on behalf of that lady. It was almost, she was inconsequential. It was what God was doing, and it was a revelation of just how deep he goes with us to get our attention, to get us. That's our God. And he loves you that he'll go to the lengths for you to come to know him. We're going to have just a little bit of time here at the altar. But right now, this altar is for those first who want to say, I am going to say yes to Christ. I am going to say yes. I've been here for a while. I've been kind of playing games. And I've never made the commitment to make him Lord in my life. I never knew that he loved me to the extent that he did. And I want that. I never knew that he would walk with me step by step through my junk and help to heal me and recover me and fix me. I didn't know. But that's the God I want. That's the Jesus that I want. I don't know where you stand. You might have been coming to church here for 30 years and never did this. There's something important about taking a step forward. Taking a step when everybody's looking, when it's hard. Who cares about everybody looking? Just look to him. Come to him. So if that's you, and you want to get this taken care of today, you want to make this right today between you and God, you can come up and pray with any of these people. They'll lead you in a quick prayer. They'll join you in it. They'll probably be like me crying. It's so beautiful. But you come on up. You can come up right now as I'm talking. Just come up if that's you. For those that have been playing the game for a long time, you can come on up too and say, I want to get this right. I've been dancing around this God thing. I even talk highly about him. I'm coming up today because I want to come up today. I want to make this right, and I want to make it real. In Jesus' name, you can come up too. And these people up here at the thing will pray for you, up at the altar will pray for you. Is there anybody like that? You just want to come forward? Come on. Come on up. Okay. We have issues. Not issues, that's the wrong word. We get caught up in spiritual battle all the time. And sometimes I can speak for myself. I feel beat up. I feel defeated. I'm down. If that's you, and you feel those things like you're not even winning the war, you're losing the war, come on up and somebody will pray for you.